and they mess up your worship experience because they're sitting over in the corner hugging on each other. Let me tell you what happens, because I saw it 2 weeks ago. Not a seat in the room was still. This is what happened right here. They didn't know what to do with themselves. I don't know, what should I do? There's two homosexuals over there and they're making sure I know it. Let me text somebody about it. That's what happened. So we weren't as ready as we thought we were we? All those messages that I talked about and sermons that I've heard, the void of what they missed. Let me gently back down. The void of what they missed, or the point of what they missed in trying to helping to communicate to the people that were sitting in that congregation, was that beyond fulfilling what it was that the congregation or the people in the seats wanted from their social ideals or their cultural perspectives, they missed giving the truth of the matter. They made you shout, and they made you feel good, and they challenged you, and that's all fine. Get it, the Bible's full of wonderful teachings, and we're going to continue to teach on those things. But here's the situation, man. 90% of the time is usually what you get, and then 10% is like truth. But 90% of the rest of it is like, here's what makes you come back to church. How many family units can we get in the seats? What kind of programs can we offer that would attract a particular type of family, a particular type of race, or a particular type of ethnicity, a certain age group? Let's hang lights so that younger people will like it. I mean, we're doing it tonight. Proverbs. Do you have that scripture? Put it up on the screen. This is what I'm getting at. You ever heard of a long-winded preacher? Yes? You guys all heard of long-winded preachers? Come on, you're Thursday or Wednesday night crowd. Good old church folk. A long-winded preacher preaches a long message. They talk a lot. You know what it says in Proverbs 10, 19? It says, the more talk, the less truth. The wise measure their words. And there's good to be said about somebody that preaches a long time, I guess. I just would say that the reality is that the more you talk, the more you sound like you feel the need to fill in God's blanks. I don't know how that's the case, but last week, Tommy Tenney was here? In the Lorraine location, he used this example. It was really cool. He was trying to relate to everybody the understanding of what it is to have an experience. And so he showed a picture to everybody. And he'd walk up to different people and he'd say, you see that? And they'd go, oh, that's nice. That's really cool. Like, it was a picture of him in France next to the, who knows what, some big monument. What? Arc of Triumph. If you've been there and you've seen it, it's an awe-inspiring, wow, this is amazing. It's got tons of history behind it. Architecture's amazing. It's cool. But every single person he showed, all they could muster up was, oh, yeah, that's nice. And that was in front of like 300 people, 400 people. Because the reality is that picture for them is Tommy's experience. When he went and saw that, he saw it with his eyes, took a photo of it, and it just didn't relate. And so we've spent a lot of times trying to communicate God's message to you guys, to a congregation, to a people, to a generation, by relaying our experience. So don't act like this. Don't do these things. Don't live like this. Don't go here. Only go here. Only hang out with these types of people. Don't hang out with those types of people. And we've tried really, really hard to adhere to those things. But the reality of the situation is I've been in church long enough to know that most of you sitting here tonight won't be sitting here next year. And God forbid that that's the case. But it just is what it is. Because unless you have your own experience with God, unless you travel yourself to France and see what it is Tommy saw with his own two eyes, then it's just a picture. It's just, that's nice. I mean, it's time to get really real and raw with the truth of what God has to offer. What God has to offer is an experience with him, a relationship one-on-one with him. The truth doesn't change. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to come up with a snazzy new way of converting people to Christ. I'm just trying to take it back to the place where it began. So when we communicate the message of Christ, when I'm communicating the message of Christ tonight here, I'm saying stop with trying to make everybody look like you, trying to make everybody sound like you, trying to convince them that if they don't do these things, then they'll be okay, then they'll be saved because they'll be living like you. But you can't take them. You can't take them up to a mountaintop experience. You can't take them to see what God did for you. That's what I had for years. I watched and heard other people's experiences, and it got me from one high to the next that kept me in church. Because a dark room with loud music and other people praying, that's real. That's anointing. That's the Holy Spirit in the room. But unless I had my own one-on-one with God, unless I had my own individual experience with him, I could leave that night, go a few weeks, another couple more few weeks, further and further away from that experience, that event, and linger and kind of get away from him. The offering of what Christ has to have, what you have to have in order to have what he is giving you, is a one-on-one experience with him, an individual experience. Let me talk to you about a friend of mine who's homosexual. That goes down. Let me talk to you about it. I've known him for a long time, right? And for all intents and purposes, he knows the Lord. He loves him. You ask him, he'll tell you. And I know that he does. And I know the Lord loves him. And I was with him and another friend, and they felt so called to witness to him. And they wanted, and all their witnessing was centered around convincing him that being gay was bad. So the whole conversation was about not being gay, and then you automatically become a Christian. Well, I mean, ultimately, more or less kind of got him to be convinced of that. But he was so convicted about the idea, not my friend, but the other gentleman was so convicted about the idea of convincing about the idea of making him feel as if being straight would give him salvation, that that's all he really impressed on him. He's like, you just got to be straight. You just got to be straight. You just got to be straight. Well, that probably just made him sad, honestly, because he had what he thought was love. He had what he thought was fulfillment, acceptance. Like, his life was going well. So he just made him feel bad about actually what was taking place. What needed to be done was to communicate to him the idea that God wants to have an experience with you. Because when you have that experience, the word doesn't return void, right? It's true. I'm so convinced of my relationship with God, it's because I've climbed that mountain. I've went to the top. I've seen the earth roll over. But I can't tell you how special that is unless you've done it. I can't convince you that it's awesome. You just got to go. I can show you pictures all day long. Matter of fact, they're literally on my Facebook page. Go look at them. You'll be minimally impressed. So the message of Christ is to convince and to relay that you have to have a trust experience with the Lord. You have to allow for the opportunity for God to meet you where you're at and to instill in your heart the truth of what he has to offer. So the rebuke on us in Amos 5, what we were reading, is that we have to stop trying to communicate God's message through what fits for us. Trying to show people pictures of what's taking place in your life because it doesn't mean anything to them. Even if they want to believe that it's an awesome thing and that it's really, really cool, the enthusiasm that you have for your relationship with Christ is yours. You can't make them get that. It's not your message. It's not your gift to give. It's God's gift to give. So when XYZ pastor, I know you've seen this, 45 minutes into the service, comes out and walks up and does his front aisle handshakes and kisses everybody and parades past you in a $6,000 suit and then gets up on stage and proceeds to talk for 2.5 hours. I'm not quite sure exactly what you're saying that you think is going to convince the people sitting in that crowd that your relationship with Christ is something they need. Because who are you to deliver that gift? That's a God-given gift. That's an experienced gift. So settle down with all that. I've been to a lot of camp meetings. It makes me crazy. But this is a moment in our church, a moment in our city where we can discontinue the efforts that we've made trying to give a gift that we don't own to people, to force them to understand what it means to be a Christian, to force them to go, stop doing what you're doing because that's what's making you not have God. We can't. It's not going to work. So if we concentrate our efforts into understanding that we don't have what it takes in order to get people saved, I can't convince you to be a Christian because of what my life is like. It's a testimony. It's a good perspective. I want to tell you how my life changed. Right. That's a testimony. But there's only so many like messages you can give. There's only really one. It's to communicate to you that if you want what I have, you have to go and get it. That's the message. It's an admittance that I don't know what's going to happen when I die. I believe in what's going to happen when I die. I stand firm on that faith. But my attitude towards communicating that to a generation is that I'm as dumb as you. I'm as clueless as you are. I'm not walking into the room demeaning you and making you feel as if you have no perspective or even ability to have a conversation with me because I know. But that's what a lot of people have done. And it breaks my heart because that's the main reason why I don't have friends sitting here tonight. There's not anybody in this room, hardly anybody, that I haven't known since I was a kid. Most people that are in this room I've known like later in life. And in Lorraine too. And that's so scary to me because they heard the same messages. So why didn't that work for them? Why didn't those words convince them that this is what they had to do? Because we filled those words, that message, with a bunch of filler. We filled it with programs. We filled it with opportunities scheming behind the scenes to go, how many families could we get to come here if we do this? You know what we should do? Ooh, let's have a fireworks night, and then people will come. Man, if we get 10,000 people there, even, 2% of that would be awesome. So we showed them our experience and flashed our pictures in front of them. Look at this. Look how great my life is. Look how much this awesome experience with God is. And they're like, oh, that's nice. It's pretty cool. And so we get our 1% that come and stay, and they're there for 4 or 5 years, maybe longer. Then less than that, half are gone. Then you're down to like 0.2%. Those are the crazy people that stick around for some reason. But man, dare to think about the possibility of delivering a raw, honest message truth to people and saying that, look, you have an opportunity to have the best life you've ever imagined. And beyond that, you have an opportunity to have an eternity with Christ, your Savior. And then saying, hey, just so you know, I admit that it's nothing that I can do to give you that. So that's where my message ends. And now you have to go get it. Well, how do you get it? I'm not changing the Bible. The reality is that the only way you get it is if you step out and you ask God to give it to you. If you're in those seats tonight and you're wondering, I don't really know what he's saying. I don't understand. I'm not real sure. I don't want to give up this. I don't want to give up that. I want to live this way. I want to live that way. Then fine. Maybe you're not ready to have a relationship with Christ. Fine. Because there's only one way to do it. It's just black and white. I'll give up everything else. You can talk to God about it when you get to heaven. When you die, you can have that discussion. There's a lot of truth. I don't have an actual Bible in this iPhone. And I live by it. It's a spoken word. It's the written word of God. It's my guideline. I practice every day trying to do better, right? But my reality is I admit I don't know. I'm scared about what's going to happen. We read in, what was it I was reading? I think in Amos. You really want the end of the world to come? You really want God to come back? You sure about that? I mean, I want him too, but I mean, you're just sure about that? I have to question myself. I don't know. Yeah, I do. I want him. Yeah. God's love is new every day. So it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or you're not a Christian, if you don't believe in God at all, or if you believe in him a little bit, or you've been saved for 100 years, you know everything. Our understanding of what he's capable of and his love and mercy and grace is beyond, our understanding is beyond small. It's not measurable how little we understand it and comprehend it. What that means is there's more. Every single day you can have more of that. So whether you're just starting and you want that, or you've been in it for a long time and you want more of it, all you have to do to get it is step out and go, God, I trust you. And when you're trying to save your friend, just be honest with them. When you're trying to talk to your son or your daughter or the family member you think is going to be lost forever, or whoever it is, be honest with them. Would you humble yourself for a moment? Sit down, take off your $4,000 suit, and be scared with them. Don't just listen to their point of view for the sake of listening with your chin up and your smirk. I'm listening. I'm giving you your moment to talk. Go ahead. That's worse. Just be honest with them. Just be like, you know what? I don't care what you have to say. This is what the truth is. Beat them up with the Bible. Listen to them. Have a conversation with them. Be human with them. Because the reality is, it's not your gift to give. God changes hearts. Not you, not me. I've seen more hearts change when I sit and I go, you know what? You're messing with my faith. Stop it. And I know I'm doing something right when I actually hear somebody say something and I process it and I'm like, that makes me question. Because I'm actually listening to them. And the amount of respect that you'll get for that is equal to its weight in gold, because you just cracked the door open to the opportunity for them to actually have an experience with Christ that will change their life forever. And that's awesome. That's what it's all about. All things to all men, right? That's what that means. Create the opportunity for that person to trust you. Give them a break. Settle down. I asked you guys earlier if you were ready for a generation to come to church that's not saved. that doesn't love the Lord, that's addicted. I mean, really addicted. A generation that believes beyond a shadow of a doubt that their lifestyle choices are okay, as much as you believe your relationship with Christ is real. A generation, and I'm not talking about 18 to 25 year olds, I'm talking about us, you in this room. Because if you didn't think so, trust me when I tell you, there's just as many 50, 60, 70 year olds that think the way 18 and 25 year olds do as you. Maybe a little bit less, but they're there. So I'm not just like picking on young people like all the old people. Come on, we got to go save the young people because they're the ones that are lost. You guys are lost too. But it's going to take a drastic change in how we convey the message of Christ. Not a new way to communicate it, the original way to communicate it. The you getting rid of you and letting God be God. The you presenting the opportunity and letting Him make the change. He doesn't need you. He never did. He doesn't need me. I'm so reluctant to get up on this stage. It's not even fun. It's taking me 30 years. You realize that? A couple months ago when I preached here, that was the first time ever. Ever. It's because I was so disillusioned, and I'm still disillusioned. I'm so hurt. But I can't change it from the outside in. I got to change it from the inside out. So I got to change me. This isn't a message to you. This was my message. I believe, like Pastor says, I'm never saying something to you that I think you need to hear. I'm just communicating what I've already heard. This was to me. This was, God, how do I do this? I've tried everything. I've tried being just like my friends, going where they go. I'm not going to lose them. I'm not leaving them behind. So I'll go do what they do. Ruin my own life for the sake of them. I've tried it all. I've tried everything. As a teenager, man, I broke so many CDs and rebought them on Saturday. It's ridiculous. Been around the block is what I'm saying. I understand. So now that I'm here, man, you guys may not want me to preach or talk or whatever, because I'm usually going to come across like this. Here's the corrective statement. Here's what you need to do. Stop whining and do it. As I get older, I'll soften. Just like, you know, when you were a dad, you were hard to your kids and you have grandkids. You're like, I'm like, man, what the heck, man? Give my daughter everything. Where was I? The grandparents. So I'm young. So you get the mean me. 20 years later, I'll be a little nicer. Here's the good news. Put up on the screen. That takes some longer. Put on Acts 3:19. Now it's time to change your ways. Turn to face God so He can wipe away your sins. Pour out showers of blessing to refresh you. The good news is that you don't have to feel condemned, or you don't have to feel like, man, I've been doing it wrong the whole time, or who is that jerk up there talking to me like he knows something. I get it. Either way, no matter how you feel, change your ways, turn your face to God so that He can wipe away your sins, pour out showers of blessing to refresh you. Be refreshed by the opportunity to check yourself and be like, am I doing what it is that God's asked me to do? You don't become a Christian to save yourself. You become a Christian to save others. That's the whole point. That's the whole point of being a Christian. It's to love God with all your heart and to love others. Period. That's what you were made to do. You weren't made to convince other people not to be this or stop doing that. You can't do it. It's not up to you. You're not even capable. You ruin things when you try to. So love God with all of your heart and love others. Message over. Can you put up Psalm 51 and then follow with me? Are you guys ready to trust Him? Are you ready to have a trust experience? I told a friend of mine a couple of weeks ago, I'm like, man, if I could go back in time and change the definition of like the identity of Christians to trusters, that's what I want to be called. I'm a truster. Because that's when I really have a relationship with Christ. That's when I really become a Christian, when I trust Him every single day. When I trust Him to know that the guy and the girl, the guy and the guy, the girl and the girl sitting over here are here for a reason. It doesn't disrupt my Sunday morning. That's what I'm asking for. Trust Him. He's got it in His hands. Don't worry about it. You go on with your worship experience. God will take care of it. Mary said it today. Trust me. If we were that anointed, if we were carrying that much presence of God with us as we walk through the room, this is what would happen. Walk by, life changed. Walk by, healed. Walk by, forever changed. Because you can't do it. It's a drive-by, right? That's how powerful God is. That's what happens when you trust Him. That's what happens when you actually are a Christian. The only way to get there is to have a new anointing every single day. To have a confession to Him every single day that are not me, you. Where do I go? What do I do today? How is it that when I talk to this individual, I can keep my big butt, not my butt, my butt, out of the way? You know, like, Jesus loves you, but what you're doing is putting a block between you. What do you know about that? Quit speaking, you know? All right. Get your butt out of the way. Psalms 51. You got it? Keep going. Don't hold up. Generous in love, God give grace. Huge in mercy, wipe out my bad record. Keep going. 2. Scrub away my guilt, soak out my sins in your laundry. I know how bad I've been. My sins are staring me down. You're the one I violated, and you've seen it all. Seeing the full extent of my evil. You have all the facts before you. Whatever you decide about me is fair. I've been out of step with you for a long time. In the wrong since before I was born. What you're after is truth from the inside out. Enter me, then conceive a new true life. Soak me in your laundry and I'll come out clean. Scrub me and I'll have a snow white life. Tune me into the foot tapping songs. Set these once broken bones to dancing. Keep going. Don't look too close for the blemishes. Give me a clean bill of health. God, make a fresh start in me. Shape a Genesis week from the chaos of my life. Don't throw me out with the trash or fail to breathe holiness in me. Bring me back from the gray exile. Put a fresh wind in my sails. Give me a job teaching rebels your ways so the lost can find their way home. Commute my death sentence. God, my salvation, God. And I'll sing anthems to your life-giving ways. Unbutton my lips, dear God. I'll let loose with your praise. Going through the motions doesn't please you. A flawless performance is nothing to you. I learned God worship when my pride was shattered. Heart-shattered lives, ready for love. Don't for a moment escape God's notice. Make Zion the place of your light in. Repair Jerusalem's broken down walls. Repair our walls. Repair this church's walls. Repair your heart's walls. Create in them a doorway to allow what you have to be given to others. Create in you a tenderness and a gentleness and an understanding so that you can actually share God's love. That's fulfillment for a Christian. That will give you peace you've never experienced. One last example. I played basketball with my nephew Dominic in a league. And like 6 weeks ago, we played in this game. It's the first one. We play against this rival church. I won't even play to tell you who it is. But we go off every time we play them. I don't know why, but we just... fight, like not physically, but like close. And I left there that night, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm such an idiot. And I wasn't even the instigator this time. I was like there, but not there. And I told Dominic, I'm like, I feel like such a fool every time I do that. I don't even care about basketball anymore. Like, it's 30, dude. Who cares? I don't get paid. I'm not in high school. My name's not in the paper. It doesn't matter. And I leave, and do we even win? I don't even know if we won the game. Either way, I leave, and I'm like, that was a complete waste. Like, I wasted an opportunity. And there was this one guy who was like a new Christian. He was swearing at me, and I'm like, look, here's the reality of where I come from. I know I was a church kid and all this different stuff. And I was going to give you guys some of my testimony, but I can't yet. It's too much. You start swearing at me, and that's interpretation for let's go outside. You can say anything you want to me. You start dropping F-bombs at me and, you know, whatever. That means you want something more than words with me. Anyways, so I'm like, look, man, check yourself, chill out, you know, whatever. And I didn't, like, do anything. I'm just like, relax. It's not what this is about. It's a church league, for goodness sake. Well, come to find out, he's like a new Christian. He just started coming to the church or whatever. But he was all hurt. And I left, and I'm like, man, this is stupid. So the next time we played him, I came in. I literally prayed the whole day. The whole day. I knew we were playing him. I'm like, God, I can care less how many points I score. I can care less if we win. Let not one ill word come out of my mouth. Let not one, like, frustrated, you know, whatever action take place in my life. And that's a win for me. So I'm in the game. I'm like, literally, it's ridiculous that you have to pray that. But you're a human. You got to do that. That's called trusting. Trust him in all those moments, man. And I succeeded. Not one. And we lost. And I was like, yeah. And I was like happy. The rest of my team was mad, dude. The dude on our team was like the coach. He was like, oh, just getting all mad. And I'm like, look at that guy. Like, is that how I look? That's how you look. When you're yelling at people about what they do and they don't do, trying to convince them that their relationship with Christ is based on all the stuff that you don't think is right. That's how you look. You just look mean. What's wrong with that dude? And then you look the other way when you actually have a new experience with God every single day. Just because you've been saved for a long time doesn't mean you know how to do it. You got to have it every single moment of every single day. The pastor taught it on Sunday. What'd you say? I read 10 chapters a day. I've been doing that for 30 years. It's awesome. You know why he does that? Because he recognizes the fact that if he doesn't, he's going to act like me. You guys want to hear stories about when I was a kid and he was bad? I'm just kidding. Love the Lord tonight. If you read those scriptures in Psalms, you read your salvation. You read a new beginning, a fresh start, a new perspective, an old perspective, but new. Get back to that. Love people. Love them with everything you got. Be joyful about the fact that drug addicts are coming to church and disrupting your Sunday. You're doing your job. Be joyful about the fact that people are disrupting your social norms. That means you're doing your job. I've been going to church for 30 years. I'm like, yes! Yes! And I look around and everybody's squirming in their seats like a bunch of babies. I'm like, no. And there they went, out the door. Gone. I didn't talk to him. Tommy didn't talk to him. Pastor didn't talk to him. Mary, Dom, nobody. Gone. I don't care if they were acting a fool. It's what sinners do. It's what you do. It's what I do too. Especially around other people that don't like the way I live. I'll make sure you know that I don't care about what you think. That's what they'll do. So saved, believer, non-believer, no matter what you are in the room tonight, have an experience with God that will change your life forever. You know how I know that's true? Because I've gone to the top of the mountain and I've seen it with my own eyes. I'm not looking at other people's pictures. I've seen it. You can argue with me all you want. That's why when my friends argue with me, I'm like, yeah, we can have the conversation. Let's do it. Like, I like having conversation. It's good. I learn new things. It's possible. But they understand they can't defeat what I've seen. You can't take that away from me. There's no way to do it. I just don't say it like a jerk. You know? Have an experience with God right now where you sit. Bow your heads. Be meditating on his word. Be asking him right now in your heart, where do I fall? Where does the experience that I've had with you lately measure up to what it is that you've asked me to do? Where does the experience that I've given to you, the commitment that I've given to you, meet what it is you've asked me to do? A disciplined life is a holy life. Waking up every single morning and reading your word and praying to the Lord bears fruit of being capable of communicating to other people that an experience is what they have to have in order to have Christ. You're not good at relaying your faith because you don't have an experience with God every day. I'm not good at communicating my faith because I don't have an experience with God every day. I didn't say that to make you feel good. I don't. It's messed up. And that's why I weep. And I snot everywhere. Because my heart breaks for my friends. It breaks for your family members. It breaks for my wife who just lost her dad at 62. That's not explainable in a photo. Teenagers being shot in high school is not explainable. You can't convince me of it, that there's a reason for that. That's a God communication. Stop trying to. Ask yourself, where am I at with the Lord right now? Have I had that experience with him that allows me to understand that I am not capable? Drill it into your mind. I am not capable. The truth is, I can't do it. Saved or not saved, have that experience right now where you sit. Because it's not that big of a challenge to have it. All you literally need to do is take a step and go, God, I want that. And then, whew, he gives it to you. Because that's how he made you in the first place. Take that. Experience that. Pray that right now. Lord, I want your experience right now. I trust you with everything that I have. I give to you my life. I acknowledge that I am not anything without you. The words that come out of my mouth mean nothing. It's your Holy Spirit. It's your presence. It's your anointing. It's your gift to give. I receive it. Jesus' name. Worship, Jesse.
Love of God overflow, permeates all my soul. Love of God.
Stand up on your feet with me. Worship.
Overflow.
Give him the honor and the glory that he's due.
Oh, my soul.
Sing to him.
Love of God.
Don't sing to other things. Don't sing to other people.
Overflow.
Sing to him. Love of God. Overflow on me.
Oh, my soul, sing, baby. signs. You provide the Spirit. I will open up the sky.
Bless you.